we all really have the same wants, needs, and desires, you know, maybe different avenues, but the core of it the same. We want to be safe in our home. You want to have enough money to bank to pay your bills and then some. You know, you want to make the world safe for your children. All that, you know, clean food to eat, say clean water. I mean, clean land, clean air. We want all that. Why not? It's owed to us, isn't it? About health care, things like that. Born into the earth. Hey, if you support a system, at least they could do is support you back, right? So I don't think you guys want to own a car and gas it up every day if it doesn't take you anywhere. I will say this. This show tonight is dedicated to my beautiful mom who passed away yesterday. It's a very hard thing to do, even to talk about and think about. But I feel like this is a world. This is a struggle. I mean, her life was a struggle as a single mom. You know, there weren't too many breaks for women back in the day. And I often remember her training, you know, her subordinates who ended up being her boss, you know, because they were males. And it was like that kind of world in the mid-70s, even early 80s, you know. So, but mom did what she did. She had to. She was supporting two children. She had to muddle through and just push through. And it takes a very strong person to do that. So in your struggle, you know, life is a struggle for everybody. And you have to understand, try to have some kind of understanding where they're coming from. You know, even if people are pissy and having a bad day, it's all coming from somewhere, unless they're just miserable in general. There's plenty of that out there too. But it's very hard to look at the world and to see a place that is desirable to be in for the sole purpose of wanting to, you know, like just wanting to relax and be able to relax, but you can't, can you? You got to keep moving. You got to keep going. You got to keep jumping no matter what it is, no matter what, you know, no matter what you're fighting. If you're fighting cancer, you're fighting something like that. You got to just keep moving and keep jumping. And then you think about the whole cancer thing. You know, how many people die of cancer? The millions that die in a year. Yeah. They raced to get a COVID vaccine. You know, cancer, I guess, is a different animal, but it's not. You know, the COVID vaccine actually they're using came from the roots of a cancer drug. So, but the reality is people die a miserable death of cancer all around the world. It's not just United States, obviously, it's everywhere. And their families have to watch those people go down and go down hard as it may. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just linger and suffer for years. Take your pick. So, and what's the alternative? Ooh, you have a tumor, have it cut out, don't go for the cancer, maybe have another one grow, or maybe the cancer is in your blood. I mean, really, it actually depends on what, where, when, how. But I'll tell you, where they start you on chemo, and it for some people that could be a success, but it usually comes back. When it does, it comes back with a vengeance, and then you watch that person just go down. So the question is life, you know, the meaning of life, going forward, not going backward, you know, using that rearview mirror to go forward, knowing where you came from, what you've been, what you've experienced. So I was on a recent show that we do. I think it was one of the Monday shows or a Friday show, a political show. I don't know. There was somebody on there who will remain nameless who actually in the height a couple weeks ago of my mom's suffering, this person had the nerve to suggest that the people who do that are learning to be strong and whatever. And you go to that cancer suite and you look at those people in the face and their suffering, their pain, their nausea, their neuropathy, all that, you know, oh, that's how you learn how to be strong. So I just kind of went off on that person, and it was a string of how dare yous in a more of a way of a flair. So, you know, I don't like ignorance, man. I don't tolerate it. don't like it. I don't make excuses either. I see things for how they are, hence the red pill, right? I just think that you learn from experience. And I know that the people who experience chemotherapy and all the ills that go with it learn that it sucks and it's painful. And it's painful to go through, and it's painful for the people around you to go through. It's a roller coaster ride of illness, you know, side effects, the whole bit. The doctors, they're not your friends, you know, those hospitals. You know, and then in your last 5 or 6 weeks of life, you know, what are they doing? They're giving you CAT scans every day, every other day, or other scans. They just, the bills that amount, the money, the sheer money, the pile of money. In 5 weeks, you can run a bill of $500,000 easily in 5 weeks. Who, $10,000 a night in a hospital? You can stay at the Four Seasons for that and have four nurses on hand and a doctor and plenty of extra. And there's no question, is there? You know, people say, oh, you need affordable health care. Got to have affordable health care. It's important to have affordable health care. But they'll say why health care costs the way it does. Why that hospital bed is $10,000 a night. You know, why? It's like when I went to get my car inspected the other day, right? I had forgotten with my mom's cancer and all the throes of it that my car inspection was up last month. And I was like, ugh. And they'll torture you, man. If your car inspection's up, it's a $450 fine in New York State. And that cop will be smiling, happy, slappy to give you that ticket, you know? Thinking they did their deed for the day. They did their bit of justice. They protected the world because your sticker was up. But okay. I went and got it. No issue. I keep my car top-notch, man. My Jeep, you know? And I'm looking at the thing, like what they charge for stuff, because I was bored. I'd sit there in my little corner with COVID-19 with my mask on, staying away from all kinds of people. It's $120 an hour for labor. $120 an hour, man, for labor. Just for labor. So your car could need like a $10 part. But if it takes 3 hours putting it in, man, there's your $360 plus your 10 plus tax. Plus tax. No wonder why people are broke. You know, look at rents around. I'm looking at apartments, this, that, whatever. No matter where you look in the U.S., and it used to be, oh, there are places that were way cheaper to live. You can go there, have a pretty good life for less, right? Not anymore. You know, I mean, some places are a lot more than others. Yeah, like, sure. Long Island, places like that. You know, if it's cheap on Long Island, you can assure that it's going to be in a very dangerous area that's probably laden with cockroaches and buggies and things like that. And then, you know, you look anywhere, $1,500 for a studio. You know, houses in some sense are cheaper than an apartment. But what does it do when the politicians get greedy and they raise taxes on land going hog wild? Right, and assessed value tax. So now your home's worth a lot more money. It's years later, years down the road. Maybe your family owned the home. They bought it probably one time for $20,000, $25,000 back in the day. Now it's worth $500,000, whatever. It's assessed for that value, and you have to pay those taxes. Many people get squelched out because their pay can't meet the demand of the taxes. The demand of the government, the demand that you pay that amount of money, even though you've owned the house for years, generational house, you own it. But not as far as they say, you don't own it. The government owns it. Because you don't pay taxes, they're going to take it. Where do you think we can do nothing about it? I mean, you know what? That's just the way it goes. And this is the problem. When people lost representation, true representation, when these politicians make a decision and they got to say to themselves, am I doing something that's right for all of the American people? Are they going to benefit from this or are they going to suffer from this? So it's the struggle of the people trying to stay in their neighborhood. It's the struggle of the people trying to get into a home. And the government will say, oh, you want to live in a nice neighborhood? You better pull out some dosh, man. We want to see the green because that nice neighborhood is going to have way higher taxes. You wouldn't believe it. Some places in Long Island, your taxes $25,000, $30,000 a year just to live on that street. And you own the home in theory. Oh, but the government says we want affordable housing for all. But they don't want affordable housing. They want people to, and it's not, you know, we're charging the wealthy, making them pay. This is the middle class. The middle class that is being beaten and abused. It's got no representation, zero, nothing. The people on top can't, they're so far up there, so far stuck up there, they can't see what's on the bottom supporting them. So it's a struggle. Then you're out in the throes of life. You're struggling. Oh, you get sick. Number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States of America is what? People who become ill and their bills go out of control because hospitals and all that charge them. I like to pick people's brains, you know. And when my mom was sick, when I was in the hospital, I talked to as many healthcare professionals as I can. Anybody, as a matter of fact, especially if I'm bored. I like having conversation. And you wouldn't believe what they confessed to me. And they're like happy to because they don't know who the hell I am. I'm just some schmo. I'm just some sweet potato sitting there with my mom. They don't know. So they vent, man. They love to vent. And there's a lot to vent about because hospitals, medical care, all that has moved from human to inhuman. It's all about the money. So yeah, that last 5 weeks of your life could cost $500,000. What do they do to save you? What do they do? Did they prolong your life for that 5 weeks? No. They poked, they prodded, they screwed, they did all that. They examined, they you know, spinal tapped this and whatever just to find out, put you through all kinds of pain and misery and charge you $500,000. And then you die a horrible, miserable, painful death in a crap facility. My God. Do you think you could spend $500,000 better on the way out? At one time on the show, I think last week, I referenced Joe versus the volcano. Tom Hanks paid to jump into a volcano. I'll tell you, there are better ways to go than in that hospital room with the boop, boop, boop and all that. And the people, not to say that the people there weren't nice, that the nurses and all that were supportive. They're all very sweet. And, you know, you're on your last bit. She was on morphine, on fentanyl, and on the way out. She just wanted it to end. So what about assisted suicide? It's not even, you know, suicide is a dirty word. It's euthanasia. And there's quite a few states that have it. And there's a role to make it, you know, make it so. I mean, so what's the difference of 3 days? The suffering? I'm going to live for these 3 days and have some kind of worth. No, you're not. You're going to live for those 3 days and suffer. So you may as well just go. May as well just go. Get on the train and leave town. There's a better world out there, you know? I'm getting through this horrible place. I'm making my way through here on the way to someplace better. Right? You like to think so anyway. Really, it's a destination unknown. You know that song, Missing Persons? I've been listening to that. That just like popped in my head. I can't stop listening to it. I like the band. They're cool. It's the 80s pop, believe it or not, type of thing. But the lyrics, man, that's right. And it's more about just when you lose somebody close like that, you're lost. And there's a physical vacancy. They're gone physically, not spiritually, not in your memory. But physically, you can't hug them, hold them. You can't, you know, buy them a cannoli. You can't sit there and chill or have a holiday. It's gone. And it's a cheat. Being cheated. So, what do you learn from that? Learning from extreme pain. It sounds like bullshit. You know that? Sounds like bullshit. Whole bunch of big steaming pile of bullshit. You learn from experience. So it's in your interpretation of that experience of what you're learning and what you're willing to do or put up with or whatever, or whatever the hell you find yourself in, right? Some people get stuck in a rut. But there's a lot to be said for being free. There's a lot to be said for freeing yourself of that struggle and finding the things that make you happy. And if people are around you telling you those things aren't good because it doesn't fit on their schedule, it's not good for them, well, you need to dump those people. Say sayonara, because obviously they're not on board with your happiness. They're talking about themselves. Good, they need to be happy unto themselves. But why should their happiness interfere with yours? So, or just be happy and find somebody else who's being happy and be happy together, go in the same direction. I like that. I applaud that one. Together. So, I fear for the world. Because it needs to move into a kinder, gentler place. It needs to move into a place of more love and understanding. You know, and love is certainly the most powerful energy in the universe. You know, nobody can deny that. And so many people are looking for it. And you know what? It's not as hard to obtain as you might think. It all depends on the terms, man. But there's also unconditional love. That's what comes in families and whatever. And sometimes even that has its limitations, but I'll tell you, when you have a bond, that bond is undeniable, and it goes beyond. You think it just ends in this world? You think that, you know, when that person passes on, that they're gone? Not gone. They're not gone. They're still with us. More important. You know, my sister was like, you know, what do you want from the house? Like my mom's house. When she just died yesterday morning. And we're talking about divvying up the merchandise, man. I'm like, just leave things. Just leave it for now. Let's see what goes on. You know, I mean, it's not even real yet, you know? And all of a sudden, and sometimes that's just the way people are. But you need to take your time in this steps. You know, and I know my mom didn't want me to feel bad or cry or fall apart. She was more worried about me than I was for her. She said, they're dying. She's worried about me. That's love. You know, undeniable. So, and you know what? It's a shame that that's when you find out all the people that love you. Just when you're on your way out. You know, some catastrophic thing happens, and that's when they're all coming out. People should show that love all the time. The world would be a lot better place. You know, just show it all the time. Let people know that you're loved and cared for. So, but as the world spins, how much control do you think you really have over that spinning world? You know, just more like we're fleas on the dog, and then you have to just be able to live your life in that realm, you know, and don't let people take away your liberties. Don't let people take away what's important to you. Don't let people interfere with your destiny and your dreams. You know, you got to do it. Because you're, you know, if you could think of it, you could do it. No matter if it's an invention, no matter if it's a direction, these are things that, you know, if they're positive goals, especially for yourself, and that could pour over into humanity, that's how the world is supposed to turn. You know, not with all these people with their greed and gluttony and all that. There's too much of that. And it's become too easy for them to lie and steal. Too easy. You know, they cover for each other, then there's no justice. So justice is blind. It doesn't see those people who are committing these crimes and do anything about them. It just sees the people that can't defend themselves, you know. So these are all things that we need to get on top of if there's truly going to be some kind of revolution, which I don't believe is going to be. I think that the revolution is the one that you see. It's all manufactured for people. It's all fabricated. So on both sides, you got both two opposing sides, and they divide people up and they confuse them. They baffle them with BS, and then that's it. Those two groups start fighting each other, and that's what that's the remainder of their days. Is them, that's their struggle, fighting with a bunch of ignoramuses about something they don't even know what the hell they're talking about in the first place. You know, I like to ask a question of people if I'm doing, I do paranormal investigations and all that too, you know, but in my real life, it's interesting to ask people how they feel. And that often will show you the perception, their personal perception of the situation. So a roller coaster ride, right? You can get on a roller coaster and go through your loop-de-loops, go through your twists and turns, go up, go down, go back around. And depending on what kind of person you are and what your perception is, it's depending on what your experience is going to be. So there are people who are terrified. If they go on there, they're certainly not going to have a good time. They're going to be terrified unless they adapt to the experience. If they're terrified, they get out there, they try it a little while, then they see how if it's fun or whatever, that's something that's different. And that's kind of a human thing. To learn and adapt and, live in a world of complacency sometimes even because you think, that's just the way things go and there's no comparatives to life itself because you're living life. If something were to change, you would never really know because it's still living your life, right? So, but there's people who are going to get on the roller coaster, is going to have a great time. They love it. They lust for it. You know, they want every twist and turn. They want the thrill. They want the experience. They want to feel the wind. They want to hear other people scream, right? All different types of people. One experience, but all different types of perceptions of the experience. You know, certainly the roller coaster ride doesn't change. It's still the same roller coaster. It's still the same ride. It's still the same thing. It does the same thing every time, like clockwork. Unless something happens, unless they get stuck. You ever see that when they get stuck upside down? I would hate that. I would be so mad. You know, hanging upside down. I'd be so like wow. Yeah, I don't see, but I don't do roller coasters. That's not a thrill to me. You know, I don't like being confined. So there's also that experience of roaming freely. You want to be able to roam free. It's like a car versus a boat, right? In a car, you get in, you drive down the road, turn around, back and forth, up and down, side to side. You know, you can go here, park there, whatever. Yeah, that's a car. You can get out and walk around. You get a flat tire. You get out, wait for the tow truck to come, put every tire, whatever. But when you're on a boat, there's no getting around, walking around, unless you're like Jesus or something. You walk on water, which isn't likely, you know, and you're confined to a space. The boat can move, but the boat is your vessel. And you are really, unless you're going to swim out of there, you're at a loss. So, and sometimes that's the perception of life too, of, you know, being able to move around, that freedom. Some people don't like freedom. Some people don't want to move around. Some people want to be stuck, or they like the complacency. They like to be in a rut. They like to be in that hole. They're comfortable there, comfy in the hole. They don't want to come out of that hole. Other people in there with them, they're comfy with them too. You ever see that? You get a cluster of little comfy people in a hole, right? Put a flashlight in there. They all say, shut that thing out. Don't leave them alone. They're happy in the hole. I see that in New York City. Potholes, man. You know, the city started renting out potholes as one-bedroom apartments. Yeah, there's families in there doing laundry, stuff like that, driving right over them. It's crazy. Crazy. That's how desperate people are for a place down there. Live in a pothole, right? Some potholes are pretty damn big. You get a master bedroom in there, a couple. So, you know, extra parking, that type of stuff. But it's not really a world geared towards people's basic humanity. It's just a world of pay as you go. The more money you got, the better the land, the better the stuff, the better the boat, the better the car, the better the roller coaster ride. Ooh, you got a lot of money, you get a VIP pass. You don't have to wait 2.5 hours for that roller coaster ride. You go right to the front of the line, basically. There's all kinds of stuff you can get with money. What does that teach people? Go out there and work hard, make money. You can work hard and not make money. You know, some of the richest people are the laziest, dumbest people I've ever met. So obviously, the intelligence and hard work didn't pay off for them. I'm not saying it won't. I'm saying it depends on you and your happiness and the struggle. What makes you happy every day? It's the little things, too. Not just the big things. It's the little things, you know? You know, the stuff that is just shared unto yourself. Sometimes even personal time. I love my personal time. I was in a relationship where I had this big, giant, blood-sucking leech that was on me 24 hours a day and didn't let go. And then, you know, usually after 12 o'clock at night was my time. My time. 12 o'clock. Like that movie, The Goonies. But down here, it's our time. Up there, it's your time. And then all of a sudden, there was no my time. You know, because that's the way that went. And then you need to have your own personal time. You know, it's also nice to spend time with people, but there should be a balance, right? For me, anyway. So, and then it just, no matter what makes you happy, you know, life moves pretty quickly. 5 weeks ago, my mom was working full time, working her job, doing her thing, living her life, going to the store, buying food, cooking and eating, taking care of her cats, watching TV, talking to me, talking to my sister, other people too, and, you know, and she's dead. 5 weeks. That's it. Doesn't take long. Sometimes faster than that. Sometimes people just die right away. So what does that teach you? It teaches you to live life. It teaches you not to wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't put stuff off. If people make you put stuff off, get away from those people, because they're not for you. You know, that's toxic. You know, they're for themselves. Like, again, I'm saying it again. You just have to go forward and do what you do and take care of your family, the people around you. Make, you know what? It's easy making people happy with the little things, because they know that you're thinking of them. You know, it's more important. It's kind of like gift giving. Especially when you're in a relationship, when you're a male and you're giving your girl a gift, you know. And there's a whole psychological thing. My friend used to own a jewelry store, and I learned a lot. I had two friends that I learned a lot from their businesses. One guy had a florist shop in Brooklyn. One guy had a jewelry store upstate. And just hanging out and seeing people. My friend with a florist shop in Brooklyn. I liked this girl. She didn't like me too much. And then started dating this other dude. I was feeling bad about it. And then, you know, I mean, we were like a little flirty, but then she started dating this other dude. And I was like, all right, whatever, you know, like that never happened before. You know, it's hit and miss when you're dating and that type of thing. You gotta take rejection as not a failure, but it's a step forward. How's that? How's that for loser talk? How's that? So this guy like knew I was kind of down, and he's like, hey, you know, he's like, why don't you come to the floral shop? Valentine's Day was coming up. And that's why I was like, ooh, I could have got this nice thing for Valentine's Day and whatever. Yeah, I was thinking, I was blue pill thinking with that type of head. So it was a long time ago. I was very young. So he's like, come to my floral shop, check stuff out, you know. And he's like, after a day of the lovesick freaks that are going to come in looking for their Valentine's things, he's like, you're going to have a whole different view on love. And so like, okay, I'll come by, hang out. I did. I saw. I conquered. I knew what he was talking about, you know. And there's a limit when you're, you know, a relationship can be a tricky thing, man. Also, depending on who you're with and how controlling they are. And if you know how to, you know, control yourself, then they really don't have any control over you. So then if it goes awry and you start making sacrifices of the things that make you happy, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be unhappy, because those are things that you have gotten rid of for somebody else, you know, but whatever. He was right. And my friend with the jewelry store was definitely the people coming in, getting the big diamonds and whatever. And he taught me this. If you give your girl some really extravagant, like, jewelry, they're not going to respect you. They're going to think in, like, back of their head, this is really expensive. Is he trying to buy me or whatever? And this, so I was like, you know what? I thought about that. I was like, nah, I don't think that's like, you know, give someone whatever. I don't think that you dissect the value. Turns out he was very true about those things. And if you just want to give a gift to somebody, it doesn't have to be a trinket from your heart. It's better than going out and spending 3 months of your salary on a diamond that's probably going to be hawked one day in a hawk shop because you guys broke up and she's going to use it to buy shoes. So, yeah. There's that too. But we're in a weird world. We're in a world where marriage is now becoming an outskirts type of thing. People, you know, a lot of males are afraid of marriage because it's a raw business contract. I mean, in some states, in some places, they really go after people. I mean, you know, look at Canada. I mean, they got a new rule up there where even if you're in a relationship with someone for a year, and you break up, they want the guy to pay the woman like relationship alimony. And it's like you start making laws like that. You start doing things like that. You're going to chase people away. You know, it's going to get, again, you have like just a government interference of your life. You know, this is not a political issue. You know, it's a personal issue. But for so many years, you know, men had screwed women over. And then, you know, left them with the kids, the whole bit, and they didn't take care of them or whatever. Yeah, man. Now it's swinging the opposite direction, you know, so there needs to be a balancing point at some point. Right now, I don't even care. I'm going to think about it as my mom. And there's so much going on, so much to do. And if you guys, you don't even know, unless you know, you don't know. It's just everything at once. Everything hits you at once. All your bills are due at once. All their bills are due at once. You know, you just got to go, 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 pay, take over all this. And then the system is fast. You know, somebody dies, you're in the system, man. Boom. They start yanking things quick and making you responsible for taking care of their stuff. It's a real bum rush. And it can be very, very overwhelming, you know. And you got to take a step back and take a breath. And then there's, you know, at the same time, you're mourning, you know, the loss of somebody you deeply loved. And then here comes all this business running at you, right? And you get dizzy from that. Then you still have to work and function, you know, live your normal life at some rate. You still have to eat, still have to sleep. You still have to do. You can't be so lost in thought driving down the road, you know, you crash your car. That happens very, can happen very easily. It's beyond heavy. It's not just some easy thing to deal with, you know? And there's just never enough time. You know that? Time. Time for everything. Time for the person. Time for grieving. Just time. And it's very inhuman, the whole process of just boom, boom, boom. It's like a factory. It's all done. Person's done, they're gone, you know, and then life goes on, right? And life does go on, you know, because the people that you love don't want you to suffer. They don't want you to feel bad. They you know, they couldn't come visit you. They don't want to see some blubbering mess. They want to see someone who has learned something that they've taught you. My mom has taught me many things, you know, since I was, you know, she taught me how to play chess when I was 3 years old. You know, she was always teaching me something, always showing me something, you know, always telling me something. We always went to museums, you know, I was always at the library. We always did these things. And, you know, or if you went on a vacation, it was also very educational. There was always something she didn't think of herself. She thought of her kids, you know, she didn't say, oh, hey, you guys stay here at a hotel. I'm going to a spa or go play that playground while I go get, you know, those nice shoes, whatever. Yeah, she went to shoe shops. I can't say she didn't. That was Saturday at the Roosevelt Mall on Long Island, man. We go to she was a mall person. Like every Saturday morning, we'd be at the mall. But she liked needing for work and whatever, as she say. But she go buy her shoes and whatever. People do what they do. That's why they built arcades and malls for the kids that were stranded. They have those hard like plastic chairs in the middle of the walkway of the mall, and you see these kids kind of just sitting there with a bunch of bags and shoe boxes, and then these women like they're it's basically like back in the day, right? Humans have never gotten rid of that hunter-gatherer type of thing. And it's funny how like you see these women run off to a store and then they gather and they bring stuff back, bags of stuff, and they dump it on the kid and tell the kid or the boyfriend. I've seen that too. You see like the boyfriend row, these guys sitting there with all kinds of like girly bags, but they're wearing like AC/DC shirt, they got like a Mack truck hat and they're sitting there in a pile of like pink bags, and these girls keep coming back, piling them on. Yeah, the mall. At the mall. So then we used to go into the China shop and mom be like, put your hand in your pockets. Like, don't touch anything. Like the fine china and crystal. I am bad with glass. Glass just happens to explode when I go near it. I don't know. That's a phenomenon. Very difficult to keep glass in my house. It's a phenomenon, man. But yeah, I don't know. You knock glass over, glass breaks. It's glass. That's what it is. So, the things that you learn, the things that you go through, the things that that people show you, and people are very real. People will show you what they're made of. People will show you, and you need to believe them when they do. You can't candy coat things. For a long time, I was the person who let others treat me badly, and I kind of just convinced myself that it was okay. But it's not okay because you're your own star player. The other people, I don't know what they are. If they're supportive, if you can support somebody else too and be there for each other emotionally and escalate, lift them up, bring it up to a higher level, right? A relationship that actually is healthy, and that doesn't have to be a sexual relationship or anything like that. It could just be a plain old friendship. Plain old friendship, a bond. Somebody who understands you and somebody who you understand. Somebody that you know at 2 o'clock in the morning, you call them. Hey, I got this problem. My car broke down or whatever. You're there for them. I have people that I do that for. You're there for them. And it's more of a, of course I would. Not even a question. If. That's loyalty and that's love and that's caring. But there are people who live without that in this world, and then they don't have that for themselves. That's the true tragedy of humanity, are the people who live on the lower level that don't understand to attain higher levels of enlightenment. Enlightenment, it's actually a very simple thing. Learning new things, and not just learning, but having those things make you better. And not saying you're bad, but we all learn every day from things we should. You don't want to be the 50-year-old who looks back when you were 20 and saying, I haven't changed a bit. Not at all. Ho, ho, ho. I was watching, it was really pathetic. It's like this tow truck haulers. I talk about it once in a while. It's like on the Weather Channel. At least they're doing something in the weather. I get that. I can jive with that. Those other shows they have on there, I think they're ridiculous. And some of them, sometimes I'm like yelling at my TV. Like there are people, the Darwin Award. The Darwin Award is somebody who does something incredibly stupid and they die from it, and they receive a Darwin Award. And then they had the show, like these people who survived, whatever. And there was a family who was like from Pennsylvania. Hold on a minute. How much time do I have? How much time do I have to get into this? There's this family from Pennsylvania. Mother, father, kid. Kid's very young, got really long hair, sitting there. And so the family goes to the Las Vegas area. It's winterish, you know. And then, yeah, and it gets winter in Las Vegas. But especially if you start heading into the Grand Canyon area, you know, you go in that direction. They wanted to go see, like, the northern rim of the Grand Canyon. So they rented a car, didn't have snow tires, nothing like that. The weather said it was going to snow. They didn't listen to that. They just figured they got a car, they can do it. They start driving into the middle of nowhere. They're using their GPS. They don't know where they're going. They've never been there before. They start going down this road. They turn off the main road. It actually had some traffic. It was a paved road onto a dirt road. That's your first mistake. Stay off of dirt roads when you don't know what you're doing, especially a dirt road that has a sign on the side saying that they don't treat the road in the winter. That's another dead giveaway. Don't go forward, go back and live. Go back. So these people at that point lost their cell phone reception, lost all kinds of things. They didn't know where they were. They're going down this road. It's snowing really hard. The snow is coming down harder and harder. The car can't manage because it's like some Ford Taurus and it's just plain old tires. And then they get stuck. So they're only about 3 miles in on this road. You know, yeah, in a snowstorm, 3 miles can be a lot. But it's the 3 miles, and this is very important. This is about the rearview mirror, right, and learning from it. It's the 3 miles that you just came down. And you know for sure that you go back those 3 miles, you're going to be on a main road with traffic and your cell phone is going to work. You know this for sure. This is information that's 100% positive to you. Instead, you do the opposite. You say, well, let's go forward. Let's go forward. So the mom in the group gets out of the car. And she's like, well, I'm going to hike up forward. You know, I'm going to go, because they thought they saw something on, that's another thing. They thought they saw something on the GPS on the map that was up there a few miles, the same distance that you can go back, right? And even walk in your car's tire tracks, basically, and know where you're going and know what you're getting. Nope. So she by herself, in the middle of nowhere, not the guy, by the way, the woman, gets out and hikes off. And basically, it's getting dark and they take off. The guy is in the car with the kid. The car is running. They have heat. They have some water. They have some food. Well, they're basically set, right? And then this is hours later. The woman hasn't returned. The guy's waiting. And then, you know, I guess she goes on this big journey of, like, hiking through, like, waist-deep snow. And, like, it's like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, my God. These people are in deserving of a Darwin Award. They're just, what are they doing? Where's common sense? So then at some point, the guy says to the kid, we should go check on your mom. Hours later, and then they hike off on that thing. They make it a very short distance and realize that it's dark, it's still snowing, and they don't want to be out there, so they turn around. They were smarter than she was. They turned around and went back to the car, started the car up again, turned the heat on, and they were okay, right? This woman, she's on this trail. She's like going through these logs, crawling over logs and whatever, trying to find some kind of cabin that's like, you know, if you're on a trail and it'll have like trail tags, you know, of what's ahead, like these signs of what's coming, and it says that there's a cabin. So she's going up. That doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't guarantee, it guarantees maybe shelter if you're lucky, but not heat or anything like that. And as at some point, the guy says to the kid, let's go back to the main road and flag down a car for help. And I'm like, bing. I was like, oh my mink, these people are so stupid. I've never seen those in my freaking life. And then you know what? Then they had to send out a rescue team to find this woman, and she was hunkered down by a tree and whatever. Oh my God. It was exhausting watching that. I wanted a bear to come along and settle people's hash. I was hoping for some a little more entertaining than that. And then they're wondering, so where's the common sense? I know they're from Pennsylvania. Where's the common sense of it all? And then, you know, it's the people who wander off, and then you need all kinds of rescuers. And then those people end up usually dying. You know how many rescuers go out and die when they're trying to save someone's butt? Who are in a place they're not supposed to be because they take on more than they can. So it's good to be, I mean, yeah, you know what? It's good to be adventurous, but it's also good to be intelligent. And it's also good to not to endanger yourself. And then by endangering yourself, you're going to end up endangering others if they come look for you. So, and then, you know, those people are damn lucky. I mean, the guy and his kid were in a heated car. Eventually, they would have been able to drive out of there. You know, the snow in that area doesn't last all that long. But also, don't split up. That's just something, unless you have to. Unless someone who you're with is injured, don't split up. So anyway, I was watching this tow truck show, and then they had this dude on there. You know, and they put the emphasis on this one guy is using these old tow trucks because he's old school, and it's like one of those things, you know. To have people support him with the old school, whatever, man. You know, it's just a show about towing vehicles and that type of thing on the Weather Channel. And then they have this guy who's like 65. He smokes cigarettes. He's getting into fights. You know, he's fighting with everybody all the time, like fist fighting and whatever. And I don't know, man. It's just, blech. It was negative. It didn't make me feel very good. I feel like if you watch something, if you dedicate your time, because your time is limited, you know, it really is. And if you dedicated watching a movie or something like that, it should leave you with some kind of good feeling when it's over instead of some kind of sickly, horrible feeling. But that's much of television today. Or the people that wander off in the middle of nowhere and then they end up dying a horrible, cold, painful death because of their own stupidity. And it doesn't take much thinking, you know, just to trace your steps, really. So anyway, that's it for me. I'm frustrated. I lost my mom, and can't believe it. So hug your mom, hug your father, hug your kids, hug the people around you, appreciate them every day. Understand that time is limited, because before you know it, it's gone, you know. And yeah, life could be long. Life could be long and whatever. Life could also be short, but enjoy the time that you have with the people that you love the most. I'm going to end the show on that note. This is me, Michael Angley, on the Red Pill News. Take the red pill, take the red pill, take the red pill.